scripture. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 34, 8 through 19.
Good morning, you guys watching. Good morning, everybody that's here in person. We have a man, I tell you what, I always remember Perry Stone saying about your messages, if you ain't excited about it, nobody else is going to be excited about it. I'm excited. I tell you what, especially Saturday nights, I get so excited because I'm working to get everything just the way, you know, that he's wanted because he's leading me. And I get excited, and a lot of times I don't sleep very good on Saturday nights. But I want to tell y'all, I'm not really sure about the title of this message yet because it's so much to it. What we're going to be talking about, this is going to be a series. It's going to be a long, big series, so just hang on for the ride. We're going to be talking about Nephilim. If you don't know what Nephilim are, today we're going to lay the foundation and we're going to find out what they are and what they did and how it's affecting us. And really what I'm going to be bringing out in this series is that they're still here, that they're here right now. That's what we got to get a hold of. Okay, I'm going to be talking about fallen angels. We're going to be getting into DUMs, deep underground military bases. We're going to be talking about the giants. We're going to be talking about aliens and demons. All of that is going to be bundled up and packaged up in this message. So you can see why I'm having a hard time with what to even call it. It's a lot. Okay, for those of y'all who know me, you know I like Perry Stone. I feel like he gives good sound teaching. I haven't found him to be off in anything. As far as what I've been exposed to. So this foundation that we're laying today is based on one of his teachings, and it's his teaching is called Fallen Angels, Giants, and Evil Spirits. Okay? You know, I would say I'd have the link up. You just go to his website. I think he's manifest.org or something. You'll find it. Just search Perry Stone. Okay. So that gives you an idea of what we're going to be talking about, because we need to get a handle on this, because we think these things don't affect us now, and they're not here with us, and they are. Look at this first picture. Now, before we really get going on this, I have something to say about this. Now, I tested this on Kennedy. I said, who do you think that is? And she went, Michael. Yeah, she got it right. To me, this is like, you know, Michael the Archangel, okay? Now, you see his boobs sticking out there? You see his chest out like that? This is not how, I just want to say this about angels and pictures of angels and representations that you'll see online. You will see these women angels with cut down to here or slid up to there, and I mean about to, you make a wrong move and we're fixing to see something, right? And it's like, wow, you really think angels are running around in heaven all scantily clad like that? I don't think so. You know, we hear about the armor of God, and we heard Paul describe the armor. I mean, we got to get a grip. If he's describing armor for us down here, don't you think our angels that stand before the Lord's presence are armored up? They got their gear on. They're not walking around with a little tiny loincloth on going, look at me, okay? That's flesh. That's us drawing these seductive-looking angels and stuff. I'm going to tell you something. You see a seductive angel, that one's straight out of hell. It's from Satan, and that's actually on topic because that would be a fallen angel. Okay, so whoever carved this up, I'll just give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he got hot and sweaty and took his shirt off. But anyway, this is Michael, okay? And I actually did not notice, but if you look down at the end of his sword, there's the old snake rearing his little ugly head, isn't it? Well, too bad for him, because he got a big old bite that day, didn't he? He's on the wrong end of that sword. Okay, what we got to understand, y'all, is God created angels before he created man. So angels are created just like we're created, and they were created first. They were created before he created Adam. Okay? And we're going to take this slow because we got to really digest this and we got to get this because the rest of this message is going to get, it's going to get out there. And we got to get this part so that we can understand what's coming. Because I'm going to show you how these Nephilim are right here, right now, already. People think they're coming, or they're making a comeback, or they're already here. And that's what we got to get a hold of, okay? And I'm going to be bringing that out in the messages that will follow. So first we're going to start with Ezekiel 28. I'm going to read 14, and then I'm going to skip to 17. Thou art the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. Now that right there, that's talking about Satan. Okay, he was anointed. He was the cherub that covers. And that's talking about the mercy seat. Okay, remember in the Old Testament when God told Moses how to make the tabernacle and all that and the mercy seat, and then they had those cherub that covered? Okay, this was Satan. And we know when we read scripture that Lucifer, okay, that's what he was in heaven, was beautiful. He had all the jewels and I mean, he had those pipes and he was over worship and he was beautiful. But what happened because of his beauty? His heart was lifted up. He was prideful. And I'm going to tell you something. If you look around in this world and there's people that maybe we think are beautiful to the eye of our flesh, a lot of times they're doing the same thing. They're lifted up a little bit better than everybody else because of their beauty. They're getting things thrown their way because of how they look. So that in itself can be a hindrance, I mean, for walking truly with God. You got to watch out. Okay, for that kind of thing. Looks can get you in trouble. All right. So there he was. He was up there walking the holy mountain of God. And then he got his little self in trouble because he thought he was all that. Okay, so then God told him, I'm going to cast you to the ground and I'm going to lay you before kings. You see that? So that's given us, you know, where did he originate from? Heaven. Luke 10:18, and he, this is talking about Jesus, said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He was there. You know, people like to make stuff up. They're brothers. Jesus and Satan are brothers. Now that's Luciferianism. No, they're not brothers. Jesus created Satan, and he was there when he fell like lightning, okay? So now we're going to talk about the first group of fallen angels. And really, Perry Stone's the only one I've heard really bring this out. I've studied into this, and I'm aligned with him and what he's thinking on this. You know, I prayed about it. And to me, there are two groups of fallen angels. So let's look at the first group. Revelation 12, 1 through 4. There's a lot of scripture today, y'all. Because we need to get this. We need to, you know, we need to study our Bibles anyway, but we really got to get this. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And I've heard that this woman can represent Eve because she was the first woman that gave birth, and I believe Adam said she was the mother of all living. And I've also heard this woman can represent Israel with those 12 stars on her head, like the 12 star tribes of Israel, okay? So there she is, a crown of 12 stars. And to me, the moon under her feet, that's like darkness, right? The sun is the one that lights the day, and the moon is what lights the night. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. Now, in case you don't know, I've been trying to pound this in our heads. That always means Satan. Serpents, snakes, dragons, scorpions, Satan. Here he is, red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon its heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, that dragon represents Satan. And where it says that his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, that's a third of the angels that fell with him. Okay? So this chapter over here in Revelation, it's kind of funny. You start out over here in Genesis, and it's Adam and Eve, and then there's the, you know, the snake in the garden saying, woohoo, eat the apple. And then you got to track all the way over here to Revelation in the middle of the book to figure out about the fallen angels. You see how God does that? He wants you to get the full bite. So if you're trying to cut out the Old Testament or cut off the New, they go together. You want the whole enchilada, so to speak, okay? So now, we see that's where him and the third part of the angels that were in heaven all fell. And look at that picture. Them angels, they're not facing up. They're falling. They're doing a head dive. You see that? They got their little selves kicked out. They're going down, okay? And where they're going down to, they're coming down here to us. Okay, they left the third heaven, and now after that, then they're like in the second heaven. They can go in between second heaven, down to earth, first heaven, whatever they want to do. Remember, third heaven is where the Lord God Almighty resides. That's where he rules and reigns. His throne is. Second heaven is like where the sun, moon, and stars is. And then the first heaven is like where we are, the atmosphere around us, the air that we breathe, okay? So listen to this. So we've established that when he fell, when Satan got all prideful and fell, he had rallied his little troops. He managed to get a third of them to go with him. Now, from that time when that happened to Adam, from Adam to Noah was about 1,658 years. That's a long haul, okay? In between Adam to Noah, you got that big chunk of time, okay? So then we start seeing the seed of Satan come about, the offspring of the fallen angels. And remember, when they sinned in the garden, God told Eve, he said he was going to put her seed at enmity with the serpent's seed. Okay? There were two seeds mentioned there, Eve's seed and the serpent's seed. Okay? Now, so when we start seeing the seed of Satan, which I'm like Perry, I believe is the offspring of the fallen angels. Okay, let's go over here. I've talked about this a lot, but let's look at Genesis chapter 6 because this is where it talks about the fallen angels. Let's get a hold of this real quick. We're just going to read. I'm going to start at 1 and probably go through 4. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now notice it was saying that there were giants in those days, and also after that, because God is fixing to flood the earth. This is the time when he's coming and talking to Noah and telling him what he's about to do. Okay, so in those days, and also after that, that's what we got to get a hold of. Where are we at right now? We're in the after that, right? I know I'm not out there seeing Noah build a Noah ark, so that's a done deal. So we're in the after that part, right? Okay, so, and we see it all through the Bible even. Deuteronomy, this is a big scripture right here, the passage that I'm going to read. Deuteronomy 2, 10 through 12, and then I'm going to go 19 through 23, because this is after Noah, this is after the flood, and this is going to talk about all these giants. So remember, the fallen angels that we're talking about right now, we're not talking about the ones that came with Satan. See, that was the first ones over there in the time of Adam. Now we've had the second group over here in Genesis 6:4, which Perry did the homework on that, and it's about 1,600 years have passed. we have a second group of fallen angels. And if you read, you can study outside the Bible. Enoch ties into the Bible, the book of Enoch, and it's quoted in the Bible. It's good for teaching. It talks about that they made a deal with themselves, and they said, we're going to go down here, basically, and we're going to get with these women, and we're going to take wives, and we're going to have children. We're going to do this thing. They made like a little pact, okay? And they came down on Mount Hermon, and that's what happened. So this was the second group of fallen angels. We got to get it in our minds. There's two, okay? When the second group of fallen angels mated and procreated with the daughters of men, those daughters gave birth to giants. Okay, the offspring, they were giants, and which they're also called Nephilim. They have several names because there's several different, in different parts of the country there, that they had different names. And that's what we're fixing to read here in Deuteronomy. So, okay, says the Emims dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, which also were accounted giants as the Anakims. But the Moabites called them Emims. The Horims also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. And when you come nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give you the land of the children of Ammon of any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That was also accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzumims, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them. And they succeeded them, and they dwelt in their stead, as he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horims from before them. And they dwelt in their stead even unto this day. And the Avims, which dwelt in Hazarim, even unto Azza, the Kaphtorims, which came forth out of Kaphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. So all through these passages, what we're seeing is a people that are great and tall and giants. And Emims, Anakims, Zamzumims, all of those are part of Nephilim. Okay, they're the offspring of fallen angels. And we read that, and you know, when I used to read that, it'd just be like a giant, whatever, a big person, tall person, that kind of thing. But we really, when you really dig into it and you start studying it, you really start finding out what was really going on. And it's not just a casual flyby, it was a big, tall person kind of thing. Or an unordinary person, like we might see somebody around here that's like 7 foot tall or something, and it's kind of like, wow, that's pretty tall compared to the rest of us, okay? There was more to this than what we're picking up but just on a casual read-through. What they really were dealing with and what really was there in the land, okay? Even when, you know, which we'll get to it, even when we hear about David going against Goliath, you still think he was a young kid and, you know, not a big deal, but it was a big deal. Look at this picture. This picture right here, this skeleton stands 24 feet tall, and it was found in Loja in Ecuador, and it can be seen at the Mysteries Park in Interlaken, Switzerland. 24 feet tall. Can you imagine? Woo! Could you imagine? This poor thing couldn't fit in a car, a bed, a house. I mean, we're not structured for anything 24 feet tall around here, you know? And that's one. This would be a Nephilim, okay? They're a skeleton. Giants possess the gates of the promised land. Now, we're not talking about heaven or promised land. We're talking about the natural, okay? When God was bringing them into Canaan, and he called it the promised land, because remember, a lot of what they did was in the natural. And then if we flip theirs and look at it in the spiritual, we mirror them in the spirit, okay? What's happening with us is going to go to heaven. Well, whenever he was giving them the promised land, giants, okay, which would be the offspring of the fallen angels, possessed the gates. And you can find that if you go to Genesis chapter 14 and read through that chapter. And historical evidence. Now, a lot of people don't like to get outside the Bible, but here's the thing. When you go outside the Bible and you look at history, you look at artifacts, you look at archaeological digs, you look at evidence, I mean Dead Sea Scrolls, there is evidence out there that supports the Bible that shows you it's real, it's true, okay? So, I mean, you don't just go to some crazy tabloid stuff, right? But real, factual, true evidence, it's out there. So, in the book of Josephus, book 5, chapter 2, and I'm not saying everything he wrote, whatever, but when he writes that right there, it matches up with the same thing in Genesis, that giants were in the gates, okay? And you think about the gates of a city that's going in and coming out. To get into a city, it's normally through the gate. And also, whenever somebody had a case or something that needed to be judged, they sat in the gates of the city. That's where the king would judge. That's where the judgment went down, okay? So the gates are very important. When you look at, just like Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail. You look at that terminology and you study up on gates. And that's where, you know, you're either going to get conquered or you're going to stand based on the strength that's at your gates. So at that time, giants possessed the gates. Now, Rephaim, let's look at that. That's in Strong's Concordance 7497. When you look at that word and you see that would be in the Hebrew, it means giant. Frequently, the term designated a Canaanite tribe that inhabited the Promised Land prior to the Hebrew conquest. Remember, Hebrews are Israelites. That's what they spoke, Hebrew. Prior to the Hebrew conquest, and who were known for their unusually large size. So we see Rephaim as part of the giants. We had Zumzammans and Anakins and Rephaims and Gibberims. We haven't talked about them yet. But all of those are part of that offspring of the fallen angels. So when we look at history across different nations, we see records that confirm the same thing. When you look at, you know, when they would write on the cave walls and stuff, and they would write on pottery and different things like that, you see this where different cultures all gave the same story, and they talked about the gods, okay? Anytime you see gods or God with a little g, that means demon, that means Satan, that means, okay, it's not our God. He's always with a capital G, okay? So when you see that little g in the Bible, it's always Satan and his crew. So the gods that they're talking about, which are fallen angels, they said they would show these pictures and writings saying that they came from stars and they rode in ships, okay? And it's been recorded on cuneiform tablets. Here we go. This is what I was talking about. On cuneiform tablets in Ur, the Akkadian tablets, and in the Epic of Gilgamesh. Demonic wisdom came from the fallen angels through their offspring. They taught it to them. They taught it to the women. And that's really spelled out in the book of Enoch. And, you know, Enoch walked with God. He's in Genesis chapter 6. He's quoted over in Jude. I think he's quoted a couple of times in the New Testament. So when you look at the book of Enoch and you find out they brought their technology and they brought their teachings, and they taught the women and they taught their offspring these things, okay? But what they did was, it was demonic wisdom because they weren't using any of their teachings, of course, for good, right? So they took what they had from heaven and they're like, oh yeah, we're going to taint it. We're going to twist it. And we're just going to be ugly about it because now they're mad at God. They're rebelling, right? Four archangels were given permission to punish the fallen angels. That's in the book of Enoch. Okay, and then Perry does state, he says a book of that Enoch, and see, this is why the Catholic Church is the ones who banned the book of Enoch out of the Bible. It used to be included in the Bible, all right? So Perry does make this disclaimer, which I've said before too. Enoch didn't write the book of Enoch, and it's not inspired, but it is useful for teaching, okay? However, they did used to consider it part of the canon of the Bible. But then the Catholic Church had one of their, what is it, a Council of Trent or whatever, and they nixed it and they pulled it out. And we're going to get to why they pulled it out. They had a reason for not wanting people to be studying that book of the Bible, because it tells us a lot about what we're dealing with right now and why and the outcome of all this. So if they just pull it out, that's better for them, because we're going to find out how involved they are with all of this stuff. The fallen angels, they had names like, remember, they were saying that they were gods that came down in starships, okay? These people didn't know what they were. If they had been plugged into the true source, to God, the way they should have been, they would have known. The same thing with us right now. If you don't have Holy Spirit, you could fall for, and we do have people falling for this junk, okay? When a toy starts talking to them and they start thinking, ooh, this is, you know, and they start worshiping that toy and it's demonic. So we got the same stuff going on, y'all. Okay, so when they saw these gods, which were fallen angels, coming down in their little ships, they gave them names like Hercules, Jupiter, Neptune. And don't we all know this is mythology? It's been spun out to us, Greek mythology, Roman mythology, that that's not true. That's not real. That was just, you know, some fairy tale fantasy stuff. And now we're starting to find out that a lot of it was true. Okay? That was the first, the second group of fallen angels, and how what they did, and how they came about, and their offspring, the Nephilim, okay? And they're still here. Let's find out what happened to that second group of fallen angels, not the ones that came with Satan, but the second ones who taught all their bad knowledge from heaven and whatever to the women and then their offspring, okay? In Jude 6, it only has one chapter, so Jude 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate. They didn't want to stay in heaven. Remember, they made that pact and they said, we're going to go down there and we're going to get us wives and we're going to have children and we're going to do all this. But they left their own habitation. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, you see this thing? This is horrible looking, but this is the best looking representation I could get. So that we can get it in our mind, because not all of the fallen angels are held in chains, okay? Because we got to know what we're dealing with right now. Because we get all these alien, demon, evil spirit, fallen angel, Nephilim. We got this whole big mixing pot going on, and sometimes we don't know who and what we're dealing with, okay? And really my big thing is, it's either going to be from God's kingdom or Satan's kingdom, and that's really what you need to know, okay? You don't have to split hairs and get all, you know, but it is good to understand how it came about. So here they are right here, held in chains. Tartarus is the lowest of the lowest chamber in the heart of the earth where the wickedest spirits are bound. Okay? So those fallen angels that mated with the women, there they are. They're bound and they're waiting their day of judgment, okay? Judgment of the great day. Now, let's go over here and find out, well, if they're held in Tartarus, what about the first group of angels that came down here with Satan? Because we know he ain't bound, right? If you read Revelation, you know he's not bound. He's not thrown in the lake of fire. He's gonna be bound during the 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign. We're not there yet. So that tells us he's not bound yet, right? That angel hadn't taken those chains and bound him yet. So let's go back over here and find out, what about the angels that came down here with Satan? What's going on with them? Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, remember when they got kicked out of the third heaven, they're in the second heaven. That's higher than where we're at here on earth. That's higher than the first, okay, high places. The angels that came with Satan became principalities and powers. That's who we're wrestling with, okay? And while we're on this subject of angels, I want to take a look at Zechariah 5:9, because I've seen a lot lately, especially about people posting pictures of women angels. And then other people are like, that's New Age, that's wrong, that's this, that's that. And, you know, people want to pick people apart on this. And I'm like, well, in the Bible, I mean, as far as what I can tell, their names all do sound like male names, Michael, Gabriel, okay. But there's a passage in the Bible, Zechariah 5:9, and it says, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings. For they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Now look at this picture. And this was news to me. I thought storks were all white, but I did find an all-white one, but I like this picture for the representation. If I saw something that had wings like this on there, I'd pretty much be thinking angel, okay? So I don't necessarily know that we need to just kick it out and say that there aren't women angels, okay? So that's something to think about. Look at this. The Sadducees, they were a group of religious people, okay? They were almost like just like the Pharisees, okay? They came questioning Jesus and testing him about marriage and the resurrection. This has to do with angels right here. So they wanted to know about marriage and the resurrection. And Mark 12, 24 through 25. And Jesus answering said unto them, do you not therefore err because you do not know the scriptures, neither the power of God? See, he called them out. They're supposed to be the leaders. They're like our pastors and you know, ministers and whoever. They're supposed to know their Bible. They're supposed to know their word. And he's like, you don't even know your scriptures or the power of God. It's like slam. I mean, I'm telling you, Jesus could throw it on you, man. So here he is. He said, you don't even know what you're talking about. Then he said, for when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. So you see what that just established, angels aren't married in heaven. They're not getting married and they're not married, okay? Now, since we're on this thought process, why would Jesus say in heaven they're not given in marriage if all angels are men? And he's not stupid. You know, he wouldn't have even had to make that statement for clarification. Okay? And also, if all angels are of no gender, because I've heard this one too, they're neither man nor woman. Same thing. Why would he make that statement if everybody knew they were no gender? You're not going to have no gendered people getting together, trying to get married. Well, we probably do now. Down here, I'm telling you. But okay, so that's just something to think about right there, okay? Now, the giants, they're also called Gibberim. See all these eems on the end? Nephilim, Gibberim, Anakim, Zamzumim, and all that, okay? They died, and they can die, okay? So even though they were, remember, fallen angel and human woman mixing, created this offspring. So this offspring now is part spirit and part flesh because they made it. Okay, they procreated. But they die and they can die. Okay, after the flood, we still saw the giants. We just read about them over there in Deuteronomy when the Israelites were trying to take the promised land. Okay, the Israelites were still dealing with them when they went to take the promised land and they came back with a bad report. Okay, remember when they sent the spies out over there and the spies all came back and they all gave a bad report except for two? It was Joshua and Caleb. Numbers 13:33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. See, when I used to read that, I would just think they meant they were wimps. I mean, that's what I thought, okay? And I'd just be like, oh, okay, well, those guys must have been buff, and y'all was just some wimps, and that, and y'all are scaredy cats. And that's the way I used to read it, to be honest with you. And I know I'm not alone. But okay, when you really get down into this, you start realizing, oh, no, they really were giants. Remember the 24-foot guy over there a while ago? And he's not the tallest one either. He, she, whatever. So, okay, we start finding out, oh, this really was a giant, okay? So you really would be a grasshopper. If some 24-foot thing came and stood beside me, all of this, I'd be a grasshopper. Woohoo! But anyway, so, okay, look at this picture right here. And when I was doing this research, there are many giant footprints all around this world. It's not in one country or one continent. It's all over this world. Okay, this guy happens to be standing by this footprint. It's kind of hard to tell when you look at it right here to count. A lot of times I would count that and it looks like five toes. But Look at this next picture. It kind of gives us a better breakdown. And by the way, this giant footprint is in some place called Mapaluzi, Africa. So this one's in Africa, but there were a lot more out there. But somebody tried to draw over here and show us the little outline of the toes. Because, you know, this is like old fossilized in the mud footprint. And you count six, okay? When you're counting those six, there's six toes there. And this is like hard evidence that is all around this world. Now, remember, the Vatican, United States, the top, the elite people, they go around and they suppress evidence, they destroy evidence, they rewrite history books. They're doing all of this trying to suppress it and keep it out of public knowledge. But there is enough out there when you dig that you can still get a hold of stuff, okay? They're trying to support their lie of evolution and keep us from knowing that these things were real, to connect that stuff back into our Bible, to know that the Bible is real. Because if they can disprove and come against the Bible, then that proves their little evolution thing, right? So they're always trying to come against the Word of God. That's their whole purpose for destroying and hiding. And a lot of these sites, they put the lockdown on it. When there's a discovery made, all of a sudden, oh yeah, we're going to come buy this out. We're going to come set up our surveillance team. Nobody's getting in here but us. And I mean, that's what they do. And all of a sudden, it's hushed. It's out of sight, out of mind. Somebody got paid off or somebody got killed. And that's the end of that. Okay? 2 Samuel 21:22. These four were born to the giant, Rapha, in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. So you see, we were trucking all the way over to the book of Samuel, and we're still dealing with these giants. And there David and his men just killed four more of them. And if you read through there, you read that passage, 2 Samuel 21:15-22, you'll see where it talks about killing all of those giants. Okay? After the flood, now this is what Perry believes, because I will say on this part that we don't know how they came back again or when or the details of that. Sometimes the Bible doesn't give us all the details, but it did state, and after that. So he said that the flood angels, after the flood, that the angels came down on Mount Hermon and populated the earth again. Okay? Now, he went over this and he said, so when we're thinking about all this, well, where, and I've asked this question before in my studies, well, where did evil spirits come from? Okay? He gave four theories and the reply to each one. A lot of people say it came from the pre-Adamic race. So those are people that believe there was a race of people before God created Adam. And there's no evidence for that. So kick that one out. Okay? Well, evil spirits came from fallen angels, that they were the evil spirits. No, because those angels, that they're in Tartarus in chains, waiting on the day of judgment. Okay, well, God created them. No, he's not evil and he's not tempted with evil. Why would he go and create evil spirits? So this one makes the best sense. And Perry said it was a theory in the time of Jesus. Evil spirits are connected with the death of the giants. So at the time when Jesus walked this earth, word on the street was these evil spirits that they were seeing and dealing with had something to do with those giants, the offspring of the fallen angels, those Nephilim, okay? Before Genesis chapter 6, there were no evil spirits mentioned in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? Chapter 6 is when God said, I've had it. I'm done with this mess. Y'all are only going to live 120 years and all of that. Here comes the flood. Here, okay? No evil spirits up to that point. After the flood, bam, evil spirits, okay? So he said, after the flood, we see unclean spirits and evil spirits, and they're mentioned in Judges 9:23. That's the first time one is mentioned. And it says, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. And you know, God can send. Remember, he'll raise up a bad king to humble his people. He'll use what's there that's already happened. So he sent that evil spirit. So that's where the first one is mentioned at in the Bible. The in Strong's concordance about the Raphaim, it also says that they're the inhabitants of an area east of Jordan, that they were, okay? When we dig further into that, this Brown Driver Diggs person, I guess he's a theologian or something, he says the proper name, that Raphaim, is of a people, an old race of giants. And it states that they are extinct and powerless. So when you see Raphaim, that means dead, okay? It means they're dead, they're extinct and they're powerless, they're dead. In Enoch 15, 8 through 12, but now the giants who are born from the union of the spirits and the flesh, remember, fallen angel and a woman, spirits, flesh, together, right? Which God never ordained that, okay? So the giants who came out of that union shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, because their dwelling shall be upon the earth and inside the earth. Remember, we're going to be talking about deep underground military bases? Deep underground in the earth, okay? We're going to go there, y'all. And it says, evil spirits have come out of their bodies because from the day that they were created from the Kodesh ones, which means holy ones, they became the watchers. Their first origin is the spiritual foundation. They will become evil upon the earth and shall be called evil spirits. Now, Perry believes, and I do too, that they died in the flood. God was cleansing the earth and everything was dying except what was on that ark. Okay? And that whenever they were killed, that their spirits came out of their bodies and became those evil spirits that God talked about over here in Enoch. Okay? Talking about the Raphaim, that they were dead, that they're extinct. Isaiah 26, 14. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore have you visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. And here's another one about them. Proverbs 21:16. The man that wanders out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And that's talking about them right there. Proverbs 9:18. Listen to this. This was a sleazy woman, we'll say that, sitting out on a street corner calling all the guys to come to her. Okay, she was trying to seduce this man. And it says, but he knows not that the dead, and if you look into that, it's Rapha, are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Y'all, y'all better think about it before y'all are going off and doing these things that y'all are doing. You don't sometimes even know what you're getting with. Job 26:5, dead, and it's talking about Rapha. Dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. This I thought was very interesting. This Job 26:5 that we just read, dead things are formed under the waters and the inhabitants thereof, talking about Rapha, the Raphaim. He gave a Fenton translation of Raphaim, which is dead spirits, are resting under the waters of the sea. Okay, track with me for a minute. Remember Hitler? And remember how he was always searching for the city of Atlantis? Atlantis was supposed to be this perfect city under the waters. Okay, now I have watched, I want to say mostly in Africa, some credible pastors in Africa that have videos online. And when you watch some of these where they're doing deliverance from somebody who's possessed with demons, a lot of times the demons come in through tattoos, certain tattoos. And, well, I ain't even going to say certain tattoos, two tattoos. Okay? And I watched one with this, it's the demon talking. And he was, you know, where are you from and all that, which I don't encourage sitting there and having a big conversation with a demon, okay? They lie anyway, but. And it said it came from deep under the sea, okay? When you go in your word and you read about Leviathan, okay, he's in the sea. when you read about these things and you think about it and you make this connection, and we're going to bring it out in the next couple of messages about this whole underwater sea business, okay? There's something to that. Deep in the ground and deep under the waters, stuff's going on, okay? So just, we got to keep that little nugget in our minds, okay? Because we're going to bring that out. Look at this next picture. This guy standing here, this is an upper thigh bone, and this is the Ohio Valley Giants. Look at this bone. This is just the upper thigh, and it's almost as big as this guy, okay? And I mean, and this is just a little bit of evidence that I pulled forward, okay? People have books on this stuff that now, like Smithsonian, the Vatican, different governments fight them about this information, so it's very hard for them to get this out, but it's out there. Okay, we have to understand that these Nephilim, okay, the giants, the offspring of the fallen angels, they were prevalent in biblical times. They wrote about what they were living and seeing and battling. When they were writing about those giants, there was more to that word giant than what we might just flip past. There was really something to what they were dealing with, okay? And I'm going to bring this out more and more as this series progresses, that we're going to be able to see what they were dealing with and living with and battling, okay? It's going to get really interesting. This next portion came from Before It Is News, and they had an article on there saying, what were the biblical giants like? They had several rows of teeth that were they were alleged to eat as many as 1,000 oxen, horses, and camels each day, according to the Midrash, which must be some kind of Jewish, you know, writing. But when they ran out, so they ran out of all this food that they were just consuming. And I mean, hey man, I don't know. I have never been no 24 feet tall or bigger, whatever. There were bigger ones. That one's short compared to some of them out there, right? So when they ran out of their horses and camels and oxen, then guess what was looking pretty good for a meal? The inhabitants of the earth, men, women, children, and infants. And they started eating them. All right, when we look at this little, I don't know, ancient piece of art. Okay, when you look at it, and you see the guy sitting over here, and he's got little people under him. Looks like they're in some kind of cage or something that he's sitting on. But here he is sitting up here. He's got these other three. I don't even know what they're doing, what if this is bang the gong or what's happening. But you can see the big difference in size between him and them. I mean, they're coming up like to his knee, seated, okay? Tradition states that the Nephilim had phenomenal psychic abilities, that they performed levitation, mind control, and remote viewing. Now, you should be able to connect the dots with that. When you're levitating, okay, when you're doing mind control, remote viewing is like, say, I'm in my house, and I'm going to just conjure my mind up to a state, and I'm going to spy on somebody, and I'm going to see what they're doing from my own house. This is all that, like yoga, meditation, I'm going to do this astral projection, all this kind of stuff. This is what they were doing. This is what, okay? They had the power to pronounce and remove curses as well as diseases and were able to predict the future. They were highly intelligent beings educated in areas of architecture, science, engineering, medical, and more. These skills combined with their powers and intelligence were used to build megalithic structures throughout the world, such as the pyramids. Now, we know that. Those things that had those bricks that were tons, and we don't even know still today, supposedly, how to move this stuff around and do things, okay? They were responsible for all of this stuff. And I want to be bringing this out more, but I studied a lady who was in the Illuminati. She was raised in Illuminati from a baby up. And she was saying how that they are trained in psychic abilities, trained in it. From birth, okay, from birth. And we are seeing that now with our military, with our government. I mean, these are the things that they're studying and trying to practice, okay? So you got to wonder, well, where is that coming from, okay? They brought about human sacrifice, which includes the inhumane act of abortion. In the book of Enoch, it states that they drank blood and they taught abortion. Now we're going to read that, Enoch 69, 11 through 12. For indeed, human beings were not created but to be like Malachim. Malachim is holy angels. Okay, we were to be like them. Okay, permanently to maintain pure and righteous lives. Death, which destroys everything, would have not touched them had it not been through their knowledge by which they shall perish. Remember, what's-her-face, Eve had to go over there and do it. And so there we go. You know, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? So she did it, and there we went. It says, by which they shall perish. Death is now eating us by means of this power. This is talking about, it says, the fifth is named, to me it looks like quesadilla. It is he who revealed to the children of the people the various flagellations of all evil, the flagellation of the souls and the demons, the smashing of the embryo in the womb, that's abortion, so that it may be crushed. The flagellation of the soul, snake bites, sunstrokes, the son of the serpent, whose name is Tabata. Okay? So they taught this. This is where it stemmed from. Okay? When these fallen angels had sex with human women, they gave birth to the Nephilim, which is what we've been talking about, the offspring of the fallen angels. And the King James Bible states that they are giants. Interestingly enough, giants in the Hebrew translation are defined as those who ruined the world by their violence. You see? They were eating people and teaching all these bad things and drinking blood and doing all this stuff. That these otherworldly beings could take upon themselves flesh. Okay, some people have a hard time getting past that. Like fallen angels, but it was an angel. Come on, man, y'all got to go to your Old Testament, because I've read about many angels that appeared as men, okay? For one, when you go and you read about Abraham, and he saw these three men approaching him, and he told Sarah, get in there and cook up some grub, because we got company, okay? These were angels, and that's one place. When you think about Sodom and Gomorrah, when the angels came into Lot, and all the other people wanted to come over there and have their way with them, okay? So they were in the appearance of men. Because if an angel appears in his holy state, you're not going to be over there trying to make out nothing. You're going to be on your face, because you're going to be in awe for what you're seeing, okay? So they can take on the appearance of man. We have to remember that. Now, in closing, I just want to say that they are here. And we can see evidence of them all around us. Genetic modification, GMOs. We're going to get more into this in the weeks to come. Cloning, sorcery, abortion, false doctrine, occult activity, attack and persecution of Christians and the body of Christ as a whole. Entertainment in movies, television, video games. We can definitely see evidence of them in our government systems all over the world. Okay, we got to keep our eyes and our ears open, because we're in the end times. And you know what? Don't look away for a second, because it's going to get worse. Remember, it's not going to get better before Jesus takes us out of here, right? Because we're going to come right up to that wall of time for the mark of the beast, time for the one world, new world order time. So all of this, it's going to get better. That's not the way my Bible reads, okay? So I just want to say, you know, next week I'm going to show you guys in Scripture the hybrids, and they're in our Word, where we think all of this mythology and we haven't been realizing that it's real. We thought it was a fairy tale and just a good story and stuff that they made up for entertainment, and we're finding out more and more that it's real. Okay, we're going to talk about, I think I'm going to bring out like four different ones that are in our Word, that they were walking with and worshiping, and they saw these things. They were there. We got to get a hold of this, okay? Because they're here with us now, and most of us don't know it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you so much for the things that you're revealing to us in this last hour, in these last days. Only you can reveal these things to us, Lord. Father, you are supreme. You are sovereign. And we thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for being with us every day of our lives. And Heavenly Father, thank you for pulling the veil back and showing us what's going on. We may not like it. These are hard truths. This is an evil, wicked, dark world and dark time we're living in, Father. But praise God. Thank you, Lord, that we have your Holy Spirit to live inside of us and that you're holding our hand all the way. You reveal these things to us, Lord, but you help us to deal with it too. Heavenly Father, for the people that are having a hard time comprehending what's going on in our world and how dark it truly is, Lord, I pray that you would give them understanding, godly wisdom and understanding, Lord, that only comes from seeking you and seeking your face. Heavenly Father, I continue to ask you, Lord, teach us. Teach us how to fight. The sword was against these giants. And Heavenly Father, it still is. Your word is our sword. It's our weapon. Help us to wield our sword, Heavenly Father, to wield it. We got to get it down in us. We have to know your word. We have to know your character. We have to know who you are and who we are in Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for strengthening us. We are soldiers in the army of Christ. And Heavenly Father, we got to know how to pray those prayers. We got to pray warfare prayers. We got to intercede for our brothers and sisters who are falling by the way. We got to witness to those people who don't get it, who don't know where we're at. Heavenly Father, we just ask you, Lord, to pour out your strength into us. Open us up, Father, and fill us up to the top and overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Lord, soak us in your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Father, I ask you just to wield us at Satan and his minions, Lord, as a strong and mighty sword and your weapon in your right hand and a strong tool in your right hand, Father. We know he's already defeated. We know we're more than conquerors. We know we have the victory in Christ Jesus, but we're still fighting this fight. Like Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. We're fighting it. And Heavenly Father, for those Christians or those ones who aren't even in the fight, Lord, I ask you to light a fire in them, Father. Show them to rise up and get on with it, Heavenly Father. You can speak against the devil. You can come at him and all that he's got in the name of Jesus Christ and through the blood and the power of Jesus. Don't be scared to talk to the devil and come at him in Jesus' name. Don't be scared to tell him to get out and get over himself. I'm not scared to talk to him. He can't do anything to you unless the Lord allows it. And if you're rooted and grounded in the Lord, he's not going to allow anything that but what's going to help you in this life. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for empowering us to stand in these evil times, Lord. Like Paul said, when you've done all to stand, there are people right now, Father, who have cried out to you, and they haven't understood because they feel like they haven't seen you move. They haven't seen deliverance. They haven't seen relief. They haven't had their prayers answered, and they don't get it, and they're angry with you. And I ask you if that fits you today, to please apologize to the Lord and let him know you forgive and that you're sorry for having that kind of attitude. And ask him if there's no deliverance coming and no relief coming. Ask him to show you why that is and what it is that he's going to use this for in your life. Because I will tell you this, if you're in him and you're not seeing that deliverance, he is going to have his glory out of the situation that you're facing and that you're dealing with and that you're in. Hang on to him. Do not get mad and walk away from him. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants to find your breaking point. He wants to, anything he thinks he can do to break you away from God, he will. If all it takes is, you know, to take your child, to murder your child, and you walk away from God, then that's what he's going to try to do. If all it takes is you not getting delivered from an addiction, then that's what he's going to try to do. I mean, all he wants to do is keep pain and torment on you to make you give up on God. Don't give up on God. He's there, even if he doesn't seem like he's answering your prayer. It's in his time. We don't know all the answers down here. And I want to lift up Carla and Dominic. They're tortured individuals. And Miss Laura and all of the TIs out there. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, for deliverance on their behalf. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, to stop the weapons of the devil. Heavenly Father, send enemy into his camp, Lord. Let him eat his own tail up, Father. I'm asking for deliverance, Lord, for these people that are stepping out and asking in faith, Lord, for deliverance. And Lord, they need deliverance. They need healing. They need your protection. And Lord, they need restoration in their bodies and in their lives, their finances, their friendships, their everything. Father, I'm asking for you to heal and mend these people. Lord, for Miss Laura, Father, she may have a platform to be able to speak out for the targeted individuals. Lord, I'm asking you to help her to gather her doctor records and her records and all her information that they're seeking, Lord, for this television interview. Father, we're asking for favor. We're asking you, Lord, that you would give her a platform to speak out and expose this and bring it to light, Heavenly Father. We're asking for your hand of favor to be in this situation, Lord, for your will to be done. So we lift her up as she is going through getting her information together, Lord, and working through this process. We thank you for healing her, Father, because we heard the report, Lord, that you touched her and you healed her. And she's been fighting all this sickness for 17 years. So for those of you who haven't been healed yet, or you're hanging on and you're wondering, Miss Laura is an example. For 17 years, she couldn't hardly turn her head or her neck or bend over. She had so many surgeries and different things and staples and pins and rods. And Lord, I thank you for touching her body and healing. And Heavenly Father, I want to lift up the people who are going through separation and divorce and their children, Miss Carolyn and her husband, her family, Lord, and the other people out there. I know it happens all the time, Father, and I ask you to be with your children. Lord, sometimes we don't get our way. We don't get to mend the relationship and work it out and stay. Sometimes we don't have the choice. The other person says, no, I want to go. Lord, for those people, I ask you, Lord, to comfort them, strengthen them. Heavenly Father, make provision for them. Sometimes you're in a situation where you haven't been working or you don't have a job and you don't know how you're going to make a way. Father, I ask you to shelter these people under your wings of love and protection. And the children, Lord, it's so hard on them when a home breaks up. Father, I pray that you would shower them with your love and your comfort and your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help them to have peace. Lord Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace. Pour your peace out in these situations. And Heavenly Father, I want to lift up people that are seeking to know their purpose. Lord, I'm very big on that. We don't want to stand before Jesus in the judgment day and find out we missed our purpose. We missed our call in life. Lord, we know you've created each one of us with a special purpose. There are things and talents and gifts that each one of us have that others don't have. We can reach certain people that nobody else can reach. And on your job and in the things that you do, you come in contact with people that other people will never see, and you could be the only person that has a chance to plant that seed, that has a chance to say something to that person that could make all the difference of them going to heaven or hell. So, Father, I ask you for those that are seeking to know their purpose, to say that they're saying, Lord, why did you create me? What am I supposed to do in this life? Father, I ask you to speak to their hearts and minds and without a shadow of a doubt, show them what you created them to do, Lord. We don't want to stand in front of you and find out we missed it. We missed the mark. We want to please you, Lord, and we need your help to do it. We're nothing without you. And Lord, we just pray, I pray for your children all around this world. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you. I plead the blood of Jesus over our eye gates, our ear gates, our heart gates, and our mind gates, that nothing but what is of Jesus, Holy Spirit, and God the Father will enter in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, bless your children and meet their needs. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray. Amen.
Hey, you guys, I just want to take a minute to let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from Him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does His part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved. I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to Him. Okay, and He's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss His mark and we don't please Him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know. So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from Him as one. Okay? So let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer, you prayed to Jesus in His name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10:9-10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation, in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus. Okay, and in order to do that, you want to hear His voice, right? You want to hear Him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear His voice. And how you hear His voice? Read His word. That's His words written down for you and I to read. That's His voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, then when you pray, you speak to Him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to Him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going, okay? And you want to do that every day. every day seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible, okay? They believe in the Bible, and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God, okay? And that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when. So now that I asked, it's all already done. No, you need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis, because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies. So we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart, and you talk to him just like you and I would talk, okay? You don't have to have fancy whatever, all right? And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony, okay? God bless y'all.